Pride and anger, two things that will destroy relationships with one another and God. That's a dangerous combination, as we hear from Mike McIntosh.
Why would you let anger control you and rule in relationships and friendships? Why would you think in your pride that being a furious person and a blow-up person and non-controllable to show that you're in charge and you have your voice in the situation is more important than love?
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Times when our anger can be legitimate. In the Gospels, we read of Jesus' anger at the temple, where the priests and the money changers set up shop to cheat the people buying sacrifices to offer. They had turned his father's house into a den of thieves. But anger can also be cruel and cause strife. As for pride, well, the Bible can't speak enough on how this can lead to all kinds of trouble, including becoming an abomination to God. Taking charge, taking responsibility is the title of this three-part message that we'll conclude today, and we can all profit from careful consideration of the principles and applications that our teacher Mike McIntosh points out. Now let's turn to our text in Proverbs chapter 16 and listen to Mike as he begins our study today on chapter and verse.
It wasn't for the king to be the superstar, the rock star. He was raised up to serve the people, and God made him wealthy, and God made him strong, and God gave him charisma, and God gave him the lion's heart, and God gave him the wisdom when to pull the sword and when not, but it was only for the people's good. David had lost that and gotten bored with what God had given to him. And with his own edict, judge and king says, "That man shall surely die that has done such a thing." And then Nathan looks at him and pointed his finger at him and said, "Thou art the man." I wonder today how many times God could send me a prophet or you a prophet and tell a story and you make your judgment and get angry. And God says, "But look what you've done." And we would all fear God. But you see, we have God at a standoff, arm's length Christian relationship. A politically correct relationship. When in Colorado just recently, they passed a law that it's illegal to hand out a flyer or a piece of paper, anything against homosexuality or homosexuals. You will go to prison for it. In America, just a couple of weeks ago, a man was fined $7,000 by a judge for speaking out against homosexuality. In Canada and Scandinavia, pastors are going to prison now for speaking out. You see, when you're standoff and you're politically correct and you have God at abeyance of arm's length, you spend no time in His Word, no time in prayer, you're never really confessing or weeping and crying and getting to know Him, you do not even have an opportunity to go to heaven. You have deceived yourself. And when David judged this man, he judged himself and admitted before every one of us, we all deserve death immediately today for the sins we have committed against the living God. Forget about mankind. The sins we've committed against God. And David's anger was legitimate. His anger was greatly kindled against this man. It was only a story. As the Lord lives, this man that has done this thing shall surely die. But the Old Testament scriptures warn that anger can actually be outrageous. And maybe you are an outrageous person that explode on your wife or your husband or your children. In Proverbs 27 verse 4 it says, "Wrath is cruel." And people that use wrath at the dinner table or wrath on vacation, it's cruel. And some people know they're using it. It's cruel, it's mean. And anger is outrageous. But who's able to stand before envy? We are told in the scriptures, in Proverbs 29, verse 22, that anger stirs up strife. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgressions. So if you're type A and you're pushy and you're a tap out dude. And you get six beers under you and you're down at the pier or you're on the boardwalk and you want to push a cop, you're going to get hurt. There's just no way around it. And if you hurt somebody else, your fury, your wrath comes pouring out. And you wonder why you go through marriages. And people wonder why they lose people they love. Because they have used their anger and their fury as a transgression. In Proverbs 15:18, it tells us that in contrast, it is said that man slow to anger appeases strife. We saw this Wednesday night. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. And who is it that's always protesting? It's angry people. It's always angry people. It's always people with their placards, angry, that stirs strife. And strife, you don't have friction unless two things are rubbing together. And we are to be the love of God and the light of God, and we're not supposed to be the strife. Do we stand for righteousness? Absolutely. We are told that a wise man in Proverbs 28 turns from anger. In fact, it says scornful men actually bring a city into snare, but wise men turn away wrath. You see, Joab and David, let's just close with this concept of how you can control your spirit and how you today can change. We had hundreds of people in the last service admit that they have a problem with anger and wrath. And I was amazed, more women than men. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. You see, Joab was the king's commander in chief. He could easily be provoked. He was physical. This guy loved war. He loved fighting. He loved the smell of the blood. He loved the smell of napalm in the morning. He loved the whole scene. He loved it. He just lived for it. And he liked the killing. He liked the combat. He liked the clash of the metal and the slugging of the fists. But David was slow to anger. David could control himself. You see, the Jebusites were a mountain tribe of the Canaanites. And the Canaanites were devil worshippers. And they aborted their babies. And they worshipped Satan. And they did wicked and evil things. And God told Joshua, this is the land set before you. You will go in and utterly wipe out everything. I will give you the towns that you haven't built, the wells that you haven't dug, the orchards that you haven't planted, and the cattle and the sheep and the goats that you've never reared. But you will utterly wipe out the people. The interesting thing is that the area of the Jebusites, of Jabez was their capital. Jabez is the city of Jerusalem. That's interesting because the Benjamites were given this area and they were to settle where the Jebusites were, and to wipe out all the Jebusites. And King Saul was a Benjamite. He was from the tribe of Benjamin. God had made him the king and gave him all the authority of the military to go into just even his own area and put the whole budget on get rid of the Jebusites. And he never once did. He was a coward. He was a fool. And he even says with his own mouth when he died, and I wonder how many people we know will end up with these words on their lips that he said, I have played the part of the fool. They wasted their entire life with all the assets, all the responsibility, all the authority, all the power, all the breath in their lungs, all the beauty in their faces and their eyes and their influence. And they played the part of the fool with it instead of using it for wisdom. And Joab, you'll remember, went after Absalom. And he did what David told him not to do. And when he's on his deathbed, he says to the man that wrote this, his son Solomon, let not his hoary head go down to the grave in peace. You see, David said in the 2 Samuel chapter 12 about verse 5. No, a little further down. He says to him, the first man that'll go up through the shaft and attack the city and take it shall be the captain of all and the commander in chief of all the armies. Now this is cool. Because David already knew that they got their water from Mount Zion down from the pools of Gihon. And that they had a water system of pipes and shafts to get the water into this citadel. It's a huge tower. And David walks up in Samuel and the people yell down from him. The political guys say, you think you're going to attack us? Why, our blind people and our lame people will wipe out all you Jews. And then David said, And he had anger because he said, this guy's mocking us. The blind and the lame are going to wipe us out. And he wanted to go. It shows us his wisdom that he had already found the weak spot of the Jebusites. You know, the devil has found all of my weak sites. And if it weren't for the glory of God, he would have taken me out a long time ago. He would have discouraged me and beat me up if nothing more, but taken me out a long time ago. But God won't let him. You see, David knew the weak spot of his enemy, and he knew where he's going to go. But because he's a gracious king like the God he serves, he says, I'll let whoever he did the planning and told them the secret of how to win. Joab was a go-getter. Hey, come on, my squad, we're going. And they went up and they wiped out the Jebusites. And from that time on, David had said, let no blind or lame come into this city. Two reasons. One, because they were used to mock him, and David didn't mock blind people or lame people. Quite the opposite. Because when Saul died and his son Jonathan, David said, as the new king, are there any relatives left? And one man came and said, well, there's a servant who told me that when Saul was hiding that they gave away Mephibosheth. And as they were running away as a little boy, the nurse dropped him and he's been crippled ever since. And he's at the servant's house hiding. And David said, you bring Mephibosheth to my table, the king's table, and you provide for him the rest of his life. And he was a crippled and he was lame. And David showed how gracious he was. And Mephibosheth is this picture of you and a picture of me. That we're all lame in this world. And we can't provide for ourselves without the help of God. So in closing, when they went up there and took that city, David took, it's called David's Citadel today. And he took that as his own palace and his own home. And it's interesting, it says in Samuel, and David built around and he built out the city of Jerusalem from that stronghold. The highest point for God to rule from. So David learned control in and his composure in the countryside as a little boy looking after sheep. In the court of Saul, as Saul turned against him and threw spears at him, he kept his anger and his wrath. When he was running from Saul, he learned it in the cave. David was famous at war, but he lost more honor at home than all he gained in the conquests abroad. Which says to us, how many stocks do you need to own? How much real estate do you really need to have? How many watches and cars do you really need when you're losing the honor of your sons and your daughters and your spouse? We don't know, any one of us, that we're going to leave this meeting right now in the next 6 minutes or so. And some drunken guy in a huge semi is going to plow into us and it's all over with. Why would you let anger control you and rule in relationships and friendships? Why would you think in your pride that being a furious person and a blow-up person and non-controllable to show that you're in charge and you have your voice in the situation is more important than love? David lost more honor at home than conquests on the battlefield. But in conclusion, did you know Jesus was angry? Mark 3. Fifth verse. Jesus has got this man of the crippled hand. He's going to heal him. And the Pharisees are looking around. They're speaking evil of him. And it says, and when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he said unto them, to the man, stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it out. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. You see, as Jesus stood there and he looked at the people that didn't want this crippled man to be made whole, he saw murder in their hearts towards him and hatred for the handicapped. But it is interesting. His anger was tempered with grief. It says he looked around on them with anger, being grieved. Tempered anger with grief. Now the words that we're using in the Aramaic as he's speaking were very important, because the word literally with anger means a moment of anger, while the word in the context being used for grief is a continuous state of grief. His heart wept and broke for the people because they had hardness of their hearts. And then he chose a great word, whoever wrote this, as Mark penned it, the word poros. Poros means the hardness of arthritic hands that can't move. It's the term that they use for arthritic feet that were just all so full of pain and so full of calcium that the hands were in agony and they couldn't reach out and touch or caress or pat somebody on the cheek or the shoulder. Feet that couldn't walk to the house of the Lord anymore. These people's heart had gotten like this. And his anger for a moment was that you're the people that are supposed to be representing me And you have so much anger and porous in your soul that your heart is hardened and you don't love these people that can't help themselves. And then there's another part of his double-edged sword. Porous was used to mean hardened when it spoke of a kind of marble that was used on floors and on kitchen counters. That these people, who appeared to be religious people that knew God, had hearts so hard when it came to be loving like God and serving and humble like God. They were arthritic and they were stiff and they were like marble and they looked so pious. You see, anger probably begins in the home. I have to confess to you, I grew up as one of the most angry people ever. What the reasons are make no difference, but I can remember at 6 years old fighting five guys across the street one day. And my anger and my rage would get to the place that I wouldn't see anything. I couldn't feel if anybody's hit me. I was just screaming. I saw it in elementary school. I saw it in high school. Sports, thank God, allowed some of it to go out. But I know that it was cruelty that I would use against Sandy when we were first married, or just how I could control a situation because I felt so helpless. And it felt so good to get rid of. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. If you ever want to read a reason for God not to take a long breath, read the 78th Psalm. Just verse 35, the psalmist says, the people, all you've done for them. They remembered that God was their rock finally. And the high God, their redeemer, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth and they lied unto him with their tongues. Oh, I serve you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Flattering God and lying with their mouth, for their heart was not right with him. It's the heart. Neither were they steadfast in his covenant. They weren't in the word. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yes, many a time turned he his anger away, took the deep breath, and did not stir up all of his wrath towards the people, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and comes not back again. He knew that every man would be dead in 70 years, 70 years, at the outside. And if God perchance go 80, maybe you'll make it to 80. Men in America today die in about 71 and a half, 72 years old. Women get all the money and they go to 76 to 78. Just like a wind. There's been hundreds of thousands in San Diego before us. Handsome like you, pretty like you. Wound up in yourself like them. Doing everything we do. They're no longer around. God remembers that. And when he sees our shortcomings and our failures, this great God of compassion and long-suffering takes a big breath and remembers the first time he breathed into man the Spirit of life. And then he turns to the right side of his throne and he sees his Son with his face all battered and wounds in his hands. And he looks at them and Jesus nods. Yes, they're very fragile, Father. He's trying. He's praying. So please, take another breath. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger, let it all, and clamor and evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now the person that can be slow to anger is smarter than any powerful man. And he who can control his own spirit, mightier than a conqueror of a city. You see, there will always be wars going on, but there's only one you. And if you can conquer yourself through the help of God and his word and the power of his spirit, you're wiser than the most powerful people on the face of this earth. Peace. Gentleness, kindness, meekness. Shall we stand and shall we pray? We humbly bow our hearts before you, Lord, and realize that you have given us a key to living. that if we are slow to anger, we're better than all the mighty warriors on the planet. If we can rule our spirit, we're better than any that can control a city. Help us take charge and take responsibility of our lives, Lord. This is our life. And we don't want to be angry people. We don't really need to be in control of anything. We don't need to defend ourselves because we're dead in Christ. We don't have to show that we're right. We need peace. So, Father God, in Jesus Christ's name, as we bow our hearts before you, may you forgive us. Lord, I thank you for the immense anger that you have taken the roots out of my heart and my life for so many years. It was just a curse to me to blank out and go into a rage. And I thank you, Lord, that you have the power that we can tap out at the cross and be spared from dying in this battle. I would pray, Father, that you would do 10 times for all these people what you've done with me and my anger and my fury. And that, Lord, you would release people that have held it since their childhood years, that have used it as a manipulative tool in their teenage and adult years. Lord, that some don't even know why they get angry or in such a rage. But, oh God, can you take this curse away from them this morning and free them? And let them just feel like 1,000,000 tons have been released from their shoulders, that they could be at peace with you and with mankind. Help them rule over their spirits and be slow to anger, that they could see the great wisdom and the riches that come with it. And humbly, as we are bowed and seeking the Lord, I'm going to ask those of you that have heard God speak to you and you want to take his help today. You want to be that wise person. You want to be slow to anger. And you want to rule over your spirit, but you haven't been able to. But you're willing today to say, God, this is sin in my life. And I ask you in Jesus Christ's name to forgive me. And I pray, God, that you would step in and take control because I can't. Release me from this fury and this wrath and this anger. And give me freedom and liberty to enjoy people and situations, even if I can't control them. Forgive me, God. And as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, those of you that feel that God is releasing you and you want that release, would you just look up at me and raise your hand that I could pray for you? Lord God, you've seen these many, many people. You saw them walking in here. You knew this is something you wanted to talk to them about. And I thank you for being so gracious to us, Lord, and showing us there's a way out of these things that are too much for us to handle with our lives. May you right now, we all pray together, may you release these people of this anger and this wrath, the fury, the outrageousness of it all, the control and the cruelty of it all. May it just be lifted from them by the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing them and setting them free. You have promised whom the Son sets free, Father, is free indeed. May you free these people that they never have an explosion again, a blow up, an encounter. Lord, that they would just be at peace with you. And that you would take charge. Bless them, release them, fill them with joy and happiness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he prosper you this week. May you see signs of prosperity bringing forth like a new branch on a tree. May you just see some hope in the midst of your discouragement. May you see blessings from heaven. And may you learn that you're hearing God love you through other people. And may you find yourself turning to the Holy Scriptures more this week than you ever have in your life. And may you find the joy that comes with knowing that God's listening, answering, and watching, and caring about you and for you. He has it all under control, and it's all in his hands. He loves you completely. God bless you.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh with important reminders about the danger of anger and pride. Let's recognize that these are a symptom of an underlying condition in the human heart, but it can be overcome when we choose to love and be thankful for God's current provision and exhibit trust in the future He has promised to provide. Unfortunately, many fail to recognize that their problems are brought on by their hard hearts and that they continually blame others for their troubles. Let's avoid this negative attitude and learn from the hard lessons taught in these instructive lessons. Join us again when we'll present the message, Dry Morsels. As we close our broadcast for today, I want to remind you that Chapter and Verse is heard each weekday on this radio station thanks to the financial gifts we receive from you, our listening audience. If you've been ministered to through this outreach, please consider making a financial gift. And of course, we very much appreciate you taking a moment to pray for us here at CNV Radio. You can write to us at Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. That's Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacintosh.com. Join us next time on CNV when we'll continue our study of the Old Testament Book of Proverbs. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.